All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, good morning. It is, what's today, February 9th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Still digging out of our winter extravaganza. We had our snow, and then we had our rain, and then we had the cold. And most people that are on the East Coast are probably experiencing the same thing. It has been really cold. I mean, people are saying, well, they're saying a lot of stuff, but they're saying that they haven't ever seen it this cold before. And I don't know. I'm sure that's not true. I do recall it being cold. I call this, I run from the car to the house cold. And I've experienced this before in the past. It's definitely been this cold, but it's definitely cold, man. It has been frigid. And you know it's cold when you start feeling bad for like equipment and stuff outside, you know, metal pieces of equipment that you're worried that they're freezing, right? But whatever, it's been cold. But I do think we are starting to, it's supposed to start warming up a little bit, I think 40s or something, which would be nice. I'd like to get rid of all this ice everywhere. But yeah, it is Monday. I thought I would come upstairs, see if we can have a chat, see what's going on. Just got home from a meeting, great meeting. Bottom of page 39, Fred, you know, same old story. Guy that thinks he can, and he does, and it doesn't work out, and finally has to figure out how to get sober. I'm just really, you know, last week was one of those weeks I was just really, you know, full of a lot of gratitude, amazement, shock. You know, that I can sit here this many years later and still not be drinking and using drugs. And compared to the guy that couldn't stop, right? Just could not stop. And over the years, I've looked back on this transition from the guy before to the guy I am today, or even the guy I was the day that I got sober, compared to the guy I was 5, 10, 15 years into recovery and the continuous evolution of myself. And but just really, really grateful. I hear people all around me who struggle. And I've been there. I've been at that place where struggling, but not struggling enough where I'm going to do anything about it, right? Just sort of living in the misery, scratching my head, why me, right? The biggest change, I think, in my life through recovery has been accountability. You know, until then, I just was a victim. And understanding the role that I play in all of these things just doesn't allow me to be the guy with bad luck. Right. I play a role in all these things. And to be where I'm at today, living this life, I've said it before, I could not have imagined this life. You know, sitting in a jail cell back in 1994. And if I was to sit there and you know, wish for a life one day, it wouldn't be this one, right? But this is the life that I ended up with due to the 12 steps of this program and working on recovery and, you know, being accountable and honest. And the life I have is just beyond belief. And what does that life look like? Well, it's not that exciting. I get up in the morning and I go to work and I come home and eat dinner with my family and provide and go to a lot of meetings and work on recovery, which is the number one thing that I do in my life is recovery. And the evolution of that has kept changing. But today I know that it is my most important job that I do, which is go to meetings and be there for the next alcoholic. And I stick with that, you know. Went to the meeting this today at noon. It was great. You know, I get a little bit tired of the stories, you know, especially the literature of the big book. But I keep pressing on, right? And yeah, just really grateful. I'm sure this week will be full of gratitude as well. A lot of wonderful things. I had a, you know, but today it's not one of those things like, oh, I'm so grateful I didn't have a drink today, right? I shared in the meeting, you know, I wish I could use the same 12 steps that I did for alcohol as I wish I could for sugar, right? My buddy, one of the guys I sponsor, came over yesterday, and we went over to the store, and I was telling him, I go, you know, it's amazing that I can, you know, use this program, the 12 steps, to keep me from drinking, but I cannot do the same thing when it comes to sugar.
last night I think that I drowned, but now my cup is empty. No one has seen the will around, and now my heart is aching.
Bridge, Burn It Down. What a great song. Great song. Yeah, you know, it's I think about it quite a bit. I'm grateful, you know. But these steps, you know, I had, you know, I think about when I came into this program March 31st, 1997 as a heavy, heavy drinker and drug user. Self-centered to the core. Suffering from tons and tons of character defects and all of the mess that comes along with that. And, you know, coming in through the hospital and hitting my first meeting. And from that day, I have never craved alcohol. As strange as that is, right? You know, I didn't wake up the next day going, God, I need to have a drink. I was like, oh my God, thank God I stepped off that train. And, of course, I did drink 5 years later, but it wasn't because I was craving a drink. It was because a spiritual demon was like, you know, slowly, systematically removed me from the program. Well, you know, my feet did the work, but, you know, the suggestions, unaware of the spiritual side of this program, the dark side, and to fall into a conversation with the lower power, who presented a lot of great ideas why I should drink. And it's not that I was craving a drink. I was losing my spiritual awakening. I was going spiritually back to sleep. And, you know, the suggestion was, why don't we try this? What? And I've said it before, let's not go to this meeting. We'll find another meeting. Didn't go there. And then all of a sudden, wanted to be back part of the crew doing the drinking. I was separated from the meetings, and that's what happened. But I can tell you, when I had that first drink, the craving was real, very real. And when I had that first drink again, I could not stop. I had allowed the demon to come back, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, to go through everything that I went through and to finally get back to the point of deciding to be sober again. And I always believe it's the act of providence, right? I say it all the time. It says it in the book. I didn't invent that. It's not an original thought. Something so bad. Ego devastation, complete humiliation. And that's what brought me in the first time. And that's what would bring me back the second and the third. It wasn't because I just got sick of drinking. I did something so embarrassing, so humiliating, so ego devastating, that little opportunity came back and I took it. But you know, I struggle with sugar. You know, I do not eat sugar all day. I drink black coffee. I drink green tea with honey, but not a lot. But for the most part, I don't eat any sugar. I work in a salon. There's candy everywhere. You know, there was a time I was eating some candy, but I'm past that. I don't want to eat any candy. I don't want any sugar. Now, is there sugar in spaghetti sauce? Probably, right? I always watch this guy who, you know, I think he has one of these, you know, probes stuck into his arm to detect his sugar, you know, and he eats meals and he posts it on Instagram and he's like, look what this does and look what this does. And if you do this with this, it balances it out. And, you know, that big, you know, spike in sugar. And I'm amazed at some of the things that he eats that actually has big spikes in sugar. One of them is pizza, right? And there's a lot of sugar in sauces and stuff. So, you know, I'm not, you know, losing my mind over it, but I'm avoiding sugar. But come 10 o'clock, right? the devil comes a knocking, and it's the same sort of stories that I go through in my head, debating if I'm going to eat sugar or not, as I hear in the big book, in the old stories. You know, the guy puts the rum or whatever he's drinking inside of a glass of milk because he thinks that's going to be the thing that allows him to drink but not affect his stomach, right? And I do the same shit, right? Well, maybe I'll just have M&Ms, right? Or, you know, my wife, God love her, but she is, don't tell her that she's not helping me, but she's not helping, right? And, but it's between, it seems to be between peanut butter, Nutella, M&Ms, Oreos, and animal crackers. These are the five devils. And in my mind, I'm like, well, animal crackers aren't that bad, right? They're not that sweet. But I'll start with an animal cracker, and the next thing you know, I'm into the Oreos. Or I'll start with peanut butter, and the next thing you know, I'm into the Nutella. It's this insanity. Like I shared in the meeting, if this was, you know, Sugar Anonymous, I'd be picking up a coin this morning. You know, I can eat the same bullshit. I can eat. Oreos are the worst. And I keep seeing these things on my social media about how specifically bad Oreos are for you. Like they're nothing. You know, however they make that creamy center is like the worst. This guy calls it just glue to hold the two brown pieces together. And the, you know, it's all bad. There's nothing nutritional about an Oreo. But I tell you, at the end of the night, I can't stop myself from eating them. And sometimes I'll eat them and I'll be like half asleep eating Oreos and I'm with my eyes shut and I'm like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? And it's really bad, and I hate it because, and of course, when I shared this today, one guy's like, you don't look like you're 60 pounds overweight with diabetes. No, but I'm 15 pounds. I'm 20 pounds overweight, and I don't really know why. Yeah, it's the, you know, it's not that I don't want to get to where I'm 60 pounds overweight, and it's an emergency. Right. But now I'm just kind of fascinated by the fact that I cannot fucking say no to sugar. And I used to have a friend who's not a friend of mine anymore because of our political differences, his political difference, really. But he used to go to rehab for sugar. And I'm like, this guy, this is the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard, rehab for sugar. And he went and they, you know, they got him off the sugar and he came back and he was off sugar and he was doing good. And then, of course, he slipped. And, but today I get it. It is a weird thing that happens at night for me. And I literally have to remove, I guess, you know, and if I was like trying to get sober, I probably wouldn't keep, you know, beer and wine and whiskey in my house. I know. When I quit smoking, I had to clear out all the cigarettes, the ashtrays, the lighters, anything. Someone said, if it has something to do with smoking, get rid of it. And I did. And that would be, you know, the beginning of me finally quitting cigarettes in 1999. You know, when I quit drinking alcohol, I had to remove, not like, I was such a drunk, I didn't keep alcohol in my house. If there was alcohol in my house, it was consumed. But, you know, you got to get rid of all that stuff, right? And if I'm going to try to get off this sugar, you know, I really literally have to get rid of all of it. The problem is we have kids and, you know, my wife's like, well, why should they have to suffer, right? And I get it, but it's bad. And, you know, like I told my buddy yesterday, I said, the 12 steps of this program, the recovery, all of the miracles that come from this, you know, experience, right, are the tools that I use to not drink, but none of them seem to work when it comes to me trying to not eat sugar. And, you know, maybe this isn't a big deal, but it is to me. I don't want to eat sugar. I hate it. I hate sugar. It's probably the most addictive thing there is. Problem is, you know, donuts don't get you put in jail, right? We don't get on probation because of Oreos. It's just between me and myself, right? It's just, it's my, you know, it was easy to quit drinking. Well, it wasn't easy, but there was a lot of reasons to quit drinking. You know, my neighbors told me, my parents, my employer, you know, anybody that ever had to associate with me under the influence of alcohol would probably by the end of that experience say, you should probably quit drinking. The signs were on the wall, but there's no signs on the wall when it comes to eating Oreos, right? This is just my journey. And, you know, if I, and I hate to say it, but like the other night I ate 10 Oreos. Is that a lot? I don't know. It seems like a lot to me. And I woke up and I felt like garbage. And I'm like, I know why I feel like garbage. I ate Oreos, right? So it's a, you know, I guess at this point in my life, I'm trying to fine tune it. You know, I want to be healthy. I want to, you know, be around for a long time for my kids and for my wife and for myself. I want to, you know, I don't want to be like my buddy John B., who was unfortunately overweight. And he would announce he is a member of Overeaters Anonymous. But he would say, you know, I'm, you know, he finally sold that house. He said, I'm moving to Hawaii. I was like, you do it, John. That's awesome. And he moved there and he died of a heart attack 1 week, maybe 2 weeks after being in Hawaii. And, I don't want that, right? I don't want to work my whole life and do all the, even though I'm appreciative of it. You know, I'm grateful I've been working and I get to work and it's all wonderful, but I would like to, you know, go check out the country, right? I'd like to, you know, go do some adventures and spend time with my wife doing fun things. And I don't want to be, you know, crippled by my health. You know, unfortunately, my brother's starting to have some health issues. He struggles with weight. He says he's got bone spurs on his feet now. And I'm like, geez, you know, I don't want to, you know, fall apart before I make the finish line. And, you know, I have considered trying to go to Overeaters Anonymous. You know, maybe it is a group of people that we become accountable to, you know, because at this point I answer to nobody, right? I get, you know, 3 or 4 meetings a week, you know, still sober, still doing it, loving it. Thank God. Grateful for sobriety. Thank you for recovery. Great relationship with God. But I can't do the same with the sugar. So maybe maybe I'll look into meetings for Overeaters Anonymous so I can say, this is my last day, guys and gals. I'm no more sugar. Give me that coin and I give a fuck again. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe it's that group of people to, you know, lean on. Because at this point, I'm not doing a very good job. But that's what's been going on. The other great thing that I'm, you know, one of the wonderful things I've, you know, gotten from sobriety is the ability to refrain from pen and tongue. It is something that didn't come to me naturally at first. I've said many of things I've regretted. But today, you know, and we live in a crazy time. It is ripe for the picking. And, you know, where I work, you know, anytime you get a group of people working together, you're always going to have some struggles. And, you know, I made some, when I came to this salon, you know, I was like, let me pay over. I want to pay extra. I want to make sure everybody's happy. And we had a situation that came up last week where, you know, I was feeling completely screwed over. And I didn't feel like anybody really gave a shit. And it was an opportunity for me to verbally let them have it, you know. And I kept my mouth shut. And then I got this long rambling text about all this stuff and justifying this other person's behavior. And I was like, got it. I just wrote, got it. You know, I'm not going to get into it. And then the next day I went back to work and cooler heads prevailed and it was like nothing's happened and I found the gratitude again. But I was so happy because I've learned through, you know, the years that, you know, sometimes, you know, just keep my mouth shut. Even though, right, it might be justified. I could possibly, this is it. I have the floor to really let him have it. And I know today through the steps of this program and time that it's not worth it. Right. You know, this too shall pass. What does someone say? Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said right now? And does it need to be said right now by me? And A lot of the times those are no, no, no. And I've only learned that through this program because in the past I would have said something. You know, we bought a dessert, a fruit tart. For, you know, we had my in-laws over, my buddy came over and his daughter and my oldest son came down, and I thought, well, I got my mother-in-law some flowers and I said, let's get a fruit tart, which is, you know, fruit. There is a little custard, I think, in there, but, you know, it's supposed to be pretty healthy, I would imagine, you know, a healthy dessert for a big event, right? And so I picked up this fruit tart, and, you know, we buy fruit tarts all the time and they're always $12.99. And yesterday I bought it was $18.99. And I was like, why? Why is this $6 more today? And I bought it because I wanted, you know, people to eat it after the game and stuff. And but it was bugging me. And so I had to go to the grocery store this morning. I actually had a client this morning. So I went to work for a bit. And then I wanted to stop by. Sam comes back. And so, you know, making taco meat and all this stuff for him. And because really, we do try to eat healthy. I really do. I try to eat healthy, and I try to feed my kids healthy. But I had to go to the grocery store, and I'm like, I'm going to ask why this thing went up $6, right? So I go to the you know, the whatever the help desk is, and I'm like, so I bought this, and usually it's this, and this time I bought it, and it was this much. Why? You know? Why? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, what kind of answer is that? Is this, aren't you like the manager or something? And she's like, well, you have to talk to the bakery. They determine all that. So the bakery decides the price of everything. There's no, she's like, I don't know. And I could tell she was getting annoyed, but you know, I'm not going to not ask a question. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, I'm not going to go crazy on this, but you know, everybody wants to blame certain people for the cost of things, right? But it's still the stores. Right, the stores determine the price. It's like gas. Where I live in a resort town, you know, people say, "Oh, gas is down." Well, not really here. You know, gas is still pretty high. I mean, it's better, but it's because people come here, right? Gas stations are a business. You know, it's not a right to have gas; it's a business, and you know, so they determine the price. I remember back in the day when I worked at the shortstop, and my manager every morning he would get up and drive the highway, you know, to see who's. This is before the electronic signs. He still had to put the numbers up with that suction cup thing. But he would go figure out, you know, if you were coming in town, gas was cheaper. But if you were leaving, you had to get home, gas was higher. So if you were on the north side of the highway, gas was higher than on the south side. But, you know, coming in on a Friday, gas was high on the south side and not on the north side. So it was always this, you know, people selling gas. So, but it just bugged me. So, of course, she's like, you have to talk to the bakery. And I go, fine, I'll go back there. And, of course, I ask her, and she goes, oh, well, $12.99 is the sales price. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, trying to not be an asshole, which is very difficult. I think I just have an asshole tone, and my face must just say I'm an asshole. But I'm trying to be kind, right, and courteous. And I'm like, well, doesn't, and she basically says, I don't know, man, whatever. And I go, got it. And of course I'm like, well, I'm never buying a fruit tart again, and fuck Acme, and I'm never coming back here. And the reality is, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. If I had a real problem, I shouldn't have bought it yesterday. But, right, I was like, okay, yep, no problem. Where, you know, there's always an opportunity, you know, there's an off ramp to keep going at them. And I'm like, you know what? I get it. I hear you. All good. Hey, have a great day, right? Have a great day. And, you know, I don't have to apologize to them. And I don't have to apologize to the store manager. But, you know, these are things I've learned in recovery. Why? Because I have taken the off-ramp. I have said things. And I've had to make amends. You know, I have put my foot down and decided I will no longer be going to this place. And, you know, that's a lot of work, especially when, you know, they have a lot of good stuff, and it is our local store, so I don't want to do that either. And so, you know, yes, I'm grateful I don't drink today. Yes, I'm grateful I don't do drugs. Yes, I'm grateful I'm not a drunk driver, but I'm also grateful that I don't have to be the local asshole because, you know, I paid extra for a fruit tart. And that's cool, man, because why? peace, love, and free of fear, right? And when I'm sitting in the hands of God, there's no better way to get tossed out of the hands of God by running my self-centered mouth. And we don't want to do that today. So I'm very grateful. So let me see if we can read the daily reflections and see what's going on with that. It's probably a good one. Anybody like the football game last night? It's kind of boring. I don't know. It's a weird time. Congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks. That is who I was rooting for. But I did not watch the whole game. I just watched a little bit of the first. I watched the first half. I think I turned it on the halftime. I did not watch the halftime show. I did not watch any halftime show. I watched YouTube with this guy playing video games, which brings me a lot of joy. I don't know why, but that's what I like to watch. All right, let's see. February 9th. Let's see, no thanks. Here, let's see. Yeah, February 9th. 2026, getting the spiritual angle. Ooh, that's interesting. All right. How often do we sit in AA meetings and hear the speaker declare, "But I haven't yet got the spiritual angle"? Prior to this statement, he had described a miracle of transformation which had occurred in him. Not only his release from alcohol, but a complete change in his whole attitude towards life and the living of it. It is apparent to nearly everyone else present that he has received a great gift, except that he doesn't seem to know it yet. We will know that this questioning individual will tell us 6 months or a year hence that he has found faith in God. The Language of the Heart, page 275. A spiritual experience can be the realization that a life which once seemed empty and devoid of meaning is now joyous and full. In my life today, daily prayer and meditation, coupled with living in 12 steps, has brought about an inner peace and feeling of belonging, which was missing when I was drinking. That's right. It was missing before I was drinking. Right? It was missing for a long time. But that's, I think that's what I just talked about, right? That's, clearly not drinking and drugging is awesome, but the spiritual experience, the relationship with spirits, and identifying for me at least, these devils that still linger and still want me to get into it. And I don't. And for that, I am grateful. Hey, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day and I'll catch you later. Bye. So I lost none of things that I felt.
Same to drive us on.